Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I tell you, the Lord is good. Are you looking to have a good time?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I occasionally speak of a testimony. We all should have a testimony. The Bible teaches us that we overcome Satan with the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. You know, when I think of my own personal testimony over the years, how many times it's changed. But still the same testimony. I got many testimonies, but you know, you have a testimony about so many different things of how the Lord has worked and moved in your life. You know, and some people build ministries on personal testimony. They build a ministry, you know, I was a heroin addict and I was set free, they say. And, you know, I was an alcoholic, I was set free. I was a harlot, I was set free. I was a whoremonger, I was set free. You know, a drug addict, I was addicted to crack cocaine, or I was this and that, and I was set free. And they build a ministry upon that, and that's a wonderful thing. Talking about deliverance, talking about the power of God. Amen. I think of the shaking that's happening in the land of America right now. We had a brother here from Africa ministering, and he said, I want to thank you, American people, for sending missionaries and evangelists into our country to free us from bondage, free us from witchcraft, free us from the false gods and many things that he said they worshipped in their country, and brought them the news of the Jesus Christ. But he stood and he said, I find this God now sending me back to United States of America to get you delivered. Isn't God good? You know, you would say, well, brother, you don't sound too patriotic, don't sound too much like an American. Well, I was born in the United States. I've been raised up in the United States. I've had privilege to travel around many countries around the world. And I like it when I come back to good old United States, you might say. But you know, I'm not an American. I'm a son of God. I'm a Christian. I'm an ambassador for Christ Jesus. I'm from the kingdom of God. I was born as an American, but I'm born again now. I'm born and birthed into the kingdom and translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is without observation according to what the Lord Jesus Christ told us. Many of you are looking for him to set up a rulership right here in this earth, and boy, he's going to rule and this and that, and that he will. But he's already ruling in this earthen vessel right here. He's my king, he's my Lord, my salvation. He's my power, he's my strength, amen. And the ones that are waiting for him to set up a kingdom here are going to be real disappointed, because there's going to be some things that take place before there's a kingdom set up here, and it's not for the church. I'm sorry to tell you that. It's not for the church. We're the church.
Amen.
We're the bride of Christ, amen. The kingdom that will be set up here is for the elect of God, the Jew, the natural elect, but we're the spiritual elect. Now we are the sons of God. The world doesn't see us of what we already are according to the Bible, but now we are the sons of God. I had a Pentecostal minister one time tell me, I don't know if I could say that. And I think, well, you poor thing. I believe the scriptures and the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you say, I'm born again. Well, if you're born, you've been birthed. What have you been birthed to be? You were born as a man when you came into this world. You might be a lady, but you're still after that image of man. So if you're born again, what are you? People don't think like that, do they? You know, Nicodemus says, what do I do, enter back into my mother's womb? People are afraid to speak what the Bible teaches us. Afraid to speak what the Bible teaches us and who we are. They're afraid to say the things that the Bible teaches us. They're afraid because it's not popular in the religious realms of this world. We became a religious nation, not a Christian nation, a religious nation. Everybody's religious in America. Do you realize that? Everybody is. You got homosexuals, their churches with their ordained ministers. Brother Michael Beachy said a homosexual man called him up that day and he says, are you one of these kind of churches, and had some kind of name? And he goes, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Could you explain it to me? Let's ask me. Are you a church that allow homosexual men to come to your church? Man, I open the door to all of them. Man, bring them on. Amen. I'm going to preach the hell out of them.
Amen.
Well, I mean, they got the devil in them and hell in them. I mean, we're going to preach it out and we're going to get them saved and set free. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. You might not have expressed it that way, but I'm sorry. I tell you what, a man that's full of the devil's got hell in him. You understand that? I got the kingdom of God within me. I got heaven dwelling in me. Amen. So can't you understand that a heathen is full of hell? You understand that? It comes up out of the abyss. It comes out with a stench of alcohol. It comes out with all kinds of filth, filthy language and things. So, you know, brother, we open up the doors for the sick, for the harlots, the whoremongers, the drunkards, the drug addicts, the sodomites. We open the doors to them. But they're going to hear the gospel and the word of God. If they're going to continue to practice their ways, then we're going to take authority over the spirit. And if they want to let the spirit leave, the spirit is going to leave. The sodomite spirit's going to go. The harlot spirit's going to go. The drunken spirit's going to go. All those spirits are going to leave because we got authority over the spirit. And the question is that person going to let that spirit leave or go with it? It's going to be one way or the other. Amen. It's going to be one way or the other. The Bible said evil communications corrupt good manners. So the thing is we're going to try to keep things holy and godly in the house of God. Amen. We open up the doors for the sick to receive healing. Amen. When they receive healing, then they fellowship with us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Some don't like the word of God. Some don't like reproof and rebuke. Amen. But speaking of testimonies again, I testify to the fact that the greatest thing that I've ever been delivered from is a religious spirit. Do you know that many people have religious spirits and they don't even realize that it's a religious spirit? Now you could recognize a demon, and you could recognize a demon that has a hold of a man or a woman, if it's a drug or a demon of alcohol, if it's a demon of some kind of a drug addiction, if it's some kind of a demon of such, you would be able to recognize that and you'd be able to see it. But see, many times a religious demon is so veiled because it looks, the Bible said, familiar spirits, similar spirits. The Bible says the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light to deceive the very elect if it were possible. You know why I speak like this is because we're in a day, an hour, that there is so much deception and so many people that are bound with demonic spirits, but they look good. They're familiar looking. They're similar looking. They're very religious. Many of them are doing things to help people and doing good to people. But how much more of a veil could it be? You know, when we find the spirit that approached Eve in the garden, you know, it didn't come with all of this. You know, it came with things that were appealing, things that looked good. And see, everybody wants some sort of a religious identity, for they could feel like they've got their eternal well-being taken care of. Some like to be Catholics because they feel like they're numbered with something religious. I could be a Catholic. I could still, you know, sin a little bit. I could still frolic a little bit in this world. I go to the priest and I could count my beads and say my Hail Marys and I could go on my way and be okay. Some people like that. Some of the Pentecostals, they liked it. They could live like the devil themselves. They come back to church and they come into a spirit-filled meeting and the rain of God is pouring out and they come into church and they dance a little bit, speak in tongues a little bit, pray a little bit, shout a little bit, and they feel good about themselves and go on. What are we talking about? We're talking about religious spirits. When we're to examine ourselves and see if we truly be in the faith, we need to understand who we are in Christ. We teach a lot of doctrine. Ye that are born of God cannot sin. But then we have people that repeat those doctrines. It's scriptural. That, you know, hey, I'm born of God, I can't sin. But then they live a life of sin. They're walking in sin, walking in lasciviousness, walking in the ways of this world. And they will say the right things. The Bible said that you've got Him upon your lips, but He's not in your heart. Some people are hearers of the word, but they're not doers. This is very simplistic, isn't it? But this is in epidemic proportions throughout our country and our world. And we're finding a God that is so merciful and so kind that He's shaking America a little bit before they can wake up. If it's shaken by storms, if it's shaken a little bit by economic failure. The Bible said the Laodicean church, it says that they're rich and they have no need of God. You know, American people forgot how to pray. You know why? They don't need to pray. Oh, if things get bad, we'll go get welfare. If things get bad, we'll go get some food. If things get bad, we'll go here, we go there. And when they should fall on their knees and call upon God. You're going to some of the third world countries that don't have the welfare systems and things, and that's the only way. They got to cry out to God. You realize that when the children were led out into the wilderness, they didn't have any means to support 3 million or so people out there. There was no super Walmart. There was no welfare system. There was no water tower out there. But they called upon the Lord. They called upon a God of salvation. And He brought forth water. He brought forth manna and things for them to sustain. But those people had faith in God. Where is your faith at? What kind of faith do we have tonight? You say, I know the word. I'm born again. There's a track laying back there on the table that the Lord had me to write. How do I know I'm born again? And the Lord prompted me to write that for a reason. Because I walk through the streets of America and you start talking to people about the Lord and everybody's born again. I had a man that had a shacked up woman and breathing alcohol on me and had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. You know, and he's telling me, he said, "Don't matter what you say, preacher, I know I'm born again. My Bible says that no drunkard's going to inherit the kingdom of God or no adulterer." And the man left his wife and was shacked up with another woman. That's an adulterer and a fornicator. And he says, "Oh, it don't matter what you say, I know I'm born again." You say, "Oh, what faith a man has. Boy, he's got a good, strong testimony." No, he's bound with a religious demon spirit. Has the right thing to say, but the truth is far from him. Do you think it makes you born again by your confession? The Bible said they confess with their mouth. But it also talks about believing in the heart. And man's heart is continually evil and divisive, and he doesn't know his heart. So he might have the right thing to say, but you see that there's a heart condition and a problem there. Religious spirits. Religious spirits are some of the most stronghold in this country and every other place, but it's one of the most terrible demon spirits to deal with that there ever was. My father here made a statement to me one time. He said, "Son, your hardest job is to get people to an understanding that they're not born again, for they could become born again." And that was right. There was a man that spoke with an understanding there. You see, when most people have their born again experiences to their confession, and they line it up with a confession. The Bible teaches us, yes. So they say, "You know, hey, I'm a son of God. I got faith. Well, praise God." Now you take somebody that's sick and you say, "Hey," the doctor says, "Look, you're dying, sir. You got a problem." And the guy looks at the doctor and he says, "Let me tell you something, doc. I'm healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there ain't nothing wrong with me." The doctor's looking at a problem. But this man's confessing a truth, amen, in Jesus Christ. And then it comes to a manifestation. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And it comes to something seen, it comes to an evidence. Amen. And you say, "Well, I understand that." Well, it could be the same way. A man could be lost and a man could be bound up, but he starts confessing Jesus Christ and he'll come out. He'll be set free. But we don't keep confessing Jesus and keep on walking in the ways of this world. We don't keep walking after the things of this world and calling ourselves a Christian. We come out of the world. We're a separate people. We're peculiar people. We're holy people. Amen? But people want to walk in this world. They want to talk like the world, look like the world, and act like the world and call themselves sons of God or Christians. We can't do that. Religious spirits. Found myself in a place of business today talking with a few people. And I said, my heart goes out to people that aren't in church. Yours should also. Because many people have gone to church. And they've went to the house of God looking for help. And they found a club. They found all of this stench and vomit. The Bible talks about vomit on the tables of God. The Bible talks about the cage of every unclean bird. This is what's happened in organized religion. Because of religious spirits. Ministers are calling themselves pastors and theologians, and they've been to the seminary and the colleges, and they've gone out and they've got these things, and they project themselves as great men of understanding, and they're bringing idolatry and all kinds of foolishness into the churches and calling it doctrine and teaching it things that are not biblical, that aren't sound and aren't the word. The preachers are standing in their pulpits in this country teaching you that you're sinners and that you sin every day. That's a lie from the devil of hell. My Bible said, "Ye that are born of God cannot sin." Amen. And if I teach you that you're a sinner, the Bible says your father's the devil. And I'm not going to teach you that your father's the devil. You understand that? Simple doctrine, but people don't like to hear it. Maybe we should read that just for some foundation, a good way to start out a meeting this evening. Let's turn over to the 1 John, the 3rd chapter there, and we'll read that. 1 John 3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That's love. It didn't say the sons of the devil, did it? Didn't say that, did it? "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Now you see, as I had a Pentecostal minister, when I was talking to him about being a son of God, he said, "Man, I don't know if I could say that." You know why he couldn't say that? Because he was of the world. It says right here, see, the world doesn't see it. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." How come it didn't say, "Beloved, when you die, beloved, when they bury you in the ground and you step off into it, then you're a son of God." It says, "Beloved, now." Amen. Y'all know what "now" means. We had a president in office a few years back, and they took him before the council or the judges or whatever they did, and he said, "Could you define is?" So if we have a president and needs someone to define "is" to him, I just want to make sure that nobody in this church tonight needs to be defined what "now" means. I think we all know what "now" means. Amen. I mean, there's little children here know what now means. Well, mama says, hey, boy, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to whip you now. Okay, mama. That means I'm going to get right now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Lot said right there, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he, who's he, we know who he is, was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Can I ask anybody a question here? Is anybody in him? Now, if you don't know if you're in him or not, I could take you over to the Gospel of John over there, and I could talk about, well, we're in him and he's in us. Amen. That's what he said in his word. He was speaking as the Son of Man, speaking back to the Father. And he said, I'm in you and you're in me and I'm praying for them, talking about us. And he said that we'll be in him. Amen. And we're in him now. I'm in him and he's in me. Amen. You know why? Because I'm a son of God. The Bible said the same spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus will dwell in your mortal body. Amen. Hallelujah. He's dwelling in this whole mortal body. Amen. And that spirit is the thing that changes this mortal to immortal. Amen. Praise God. The corruptible into incorruption. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. You know, I don't believe in taking away or adding to the word, but I'll tell you, it would have been real fitting to say right here, little children, let no pastor, let no preacher, let no evangelist, let no missionary deceive you. The Bible talks about the ministers of Satan. We got plenty of them around, I'll tell you that for sure. We all just need to love one another. Yeah, amen. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning, for this is the purpose. The Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now let me ask you a question right here in verse 8. Did the Lord Jesus Christ destroy? Is this what he was manifested to do, to destroy the works of the devil? Come on now. Now, does anybody first here, we might have to pray for your thoughts and your mind, but can you really truly believe that Jesus Christ came and manifested and did what he came to do? To destroy the works of the devil, which is death. The last enemy of God to be conquered and is death. It's been abolished. It's done away with. Does anybody not believe that? Death has been done away with. It's abolished. It's done. You're looking at an individual that cannot die. And I'll show that to you in the Bible. You might find someday, just like this one they found over here on the side of the road here the other day, a 20-year-old boy dead. You might get the opportunity, maybe, if I leave this body. And you might see this thing, and you could call it death if you like, but the Lord didn't call it that. He said asleep. Talks about going on to sleep even with the forefathers. I can't die. I've passed from death unto life. I got Bible for this. I've passed from death unto life. I cannot die. Amen. Sons of God cannot die. Why? Because we're more than conquerors. You see, people don't like to talk like this because they're too carnal-minded. And the carnal mind is death. The average Christian people doesn't understand the scriptures. The Bible said there's some twice dead and plucked up by the roots that walk among you. So you can have a man looking you in the eye and talking to you, and you can say, that man is twice dead. But then you have another one that's laying in a box, what you call a cemetery out there, and you say, oh, he's dead. And he says, oh, no, he's not dead. Just sleep. Which one do you believe? I believe the Word of God. They came weeping to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus wept even when he found out his friend Lazarus. They said he was dead. Jesus told him, he said, oh no, he's not dead, he's asleep. And they said, oh no, wait, he stinketh by now. He's been in there for 4 days. He said, oh no, he's asleep. But they kept pressing. He said, okay, to your understanding, okay, the way you think, okay, he's dead. He called him forth, didn't he? We need to understand this. Back to verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he did. Whosoever is born of God, whosoever is born of God, doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot. Does anybody believe the Bible? We just got a couple of you. Does anybody in here believe the Word of God? Amen. Whosoever is born of God, verse 9, doth not commit sin, and his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. So we find back up in verse 8 that he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now we're talking about religious spirits, correct? Now I talk with Christian people as well as you talk with Christian people. We go to fellowship and we're looking for true fellowship in the Spirit of God. And we like to talk and fellowship around the Word of God. This is something that's in our spirit. We love people. We love the fellowship around the Word of God. But I find too many Christian people and they'll want to argue with you, which I won't do. I just back away. I don't get involved in vain controversies. If people want to dispute, I'm called in defense of the Word of God, but I'm not trying to prove nobody that I'm right. Amen. I could care less if somebody thinks I'm right or wrong. It doesn't matter to me. Only thing I care is they know the Word's right. Amen. I'm called in defense of the Word of God. Not some denomination, not some church, not some people, but the Word of God. Amen. I'm called in defense of that. Yes, I'm concerned about my testimony because I'm a representative, an ambassador for Christ Jesus. Amen. And the only Jesus that people are going to see in this world are the Jesuses that are walking among men today, the sons of God. The Bible said, now we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Amen. And you say, well, I don't know if you could say it that way. I can say it that way because that's what he said in his word. The Bible said, what you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. Amen. So the least, amen, is a son of God, a child of God. And it's the Lord speaking. If you do this man wrong or this sister wrong or whatever, you've done it as unto the Lord. Why? Because it's bone and bone and flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to understand the word of God. So what are we speaking about here this evening? We're talking about the sons of God. We're talking about being born of God. We're talking about being born in the kingdom of God, and that seed remaineth in us. What is that seed that remains in you? Where did that seed come from? What does that seed have to do with? It's life. Do you realize that there's a seed of the serpent? Do you realize that? And that there's many brethren that are bound into religious ideologies and religious darknesses, and they're walking in religious ways. And they think that they're sons of God. They think they're religious. They think they're Christians. They think they're born of God. But they're believing a lie and they're damned. Do you realize that when you have that seed remaineth in you, that seed is something that reproduces? That seed is going to reproduce. Now, if we look out here into this world and we see that there's seeds that come forth from the trees and from the fruit trees and things, when that seed goes into the ground, it reproduces after its kind. Do you understand that? And it takes the water to take and water that seed, and that seed's going to come forth. Now, this isn't no great revelation to you. Jesus spoke about things of such. So the thing is we find an apple tree is going to reproduce after its kind. It's going to bring forth an apple. Is this correct? An orange tree, the same way. There's a seed that's going to reproduce. And it's relative to the water world. There's a seed that lays within the loins of a man. And the man goes into the relationship with his wife, with the woman. The seed leaves the loins of the man, goes into the womb of the woman. Amen. The earthen vessel. And this seed goes into that earth and it reproduces after its kind. Do you understand that? And we bring forth a man child. This is what takes place. It's a blood seed. Many of you understand this, but there's a water, blood, and spirit world. A natural, physical, and spiritual world. A water, blood, and spirit world. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Natural, physical, and spiritual. And we got to realize that in the physical dimension, the second heaven has to do with blood life. And the blood seed goes forth and reproduces. Now we're talking about another seed. It's a seed that remaineth in you. See, the first seed of man. We know that man, in the fall, in the transgression, we find that this thing that has taken place there, and we find that there had to be another covenant made. We can go into a lot of doctrine here. I'm not going to take time to do it tonight. But when we go into the revelation of it, into the Spirit, we find that there is a seed of the Spirit that comes within you. Now the thing is the Bible teaches that the woman saved in childbearing. I know you understand this. So if the woman is barren and can't bring forth a child, now listen to me, you're going to hear it straight from the preacher here. If you are a woman and you don't bring forth a child, you're going to hell. And you say, man, I can't believe that. I'll walk out of here. Well, the Bible said a wise man hears the end of the matter. The Bible said the woman's saved in childbearing. I got Bible for it. But what dimension are we talking about? See, some of the sisters here, some are saying, man, I don't know about that, man. I'm having troubles, you know. I don't have a child. I'm not married, da, da, da. Well, I'm not speaking in that realm. I'm talking about the bride of Christ now. Well, the bride of Christ surely ain't going to go to hell. I agree with you, and she's not barren either. She's not barren. So the thing is, if it was a woman in that dimension that was barren, then what would that show? Surely wouldn't show the bride of Christ. Now, see, I switch dimensions on you, and I say things purposely to get your attention. We had a lady come out visit one time, and she's come up to me and asked a question. She said, "Preacher, see, I want to ask you a question." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, what is it?" She says, "Do you really believe the rapture's already taken place?" And I said, "Well, sure, don't you?" I shouldn't do that to people, should I? But I'm telling the truth. Does anybody in here believe the rapture's already taken place with me? Come on now, I see you. I got a couple of you. Some of you are saying, "Man, I'm not sticking my hand up." Well, first thing we got to come to understanding, there's no word for rapture in the Bible. So then I say, "Well, what are you talking about?" Well, we could talk about the translation. We could talk about the transfiguration. We could talk about the catching up. We can talk about winning the redemption of the body. Those are biblical terminology. Well, do you believe that this has already happened? Well, you see, I'm saying some things purposely here tonight to shake you a little bit, but I made a statement. I talk about, hey, if you're a woman and you're barren and you ain't brought forth a child, you're hearing it from the preacher, you're going to hell. See, I say that because I want to get you out of your standard way of thinking. The Bible said, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God." You cannot think you're equal with God in your mind. When you think like a man or think like a woman or think like a career individual or think like a religious person of this world, you cannot think that you become equal with God. You won't ever think that way. But when you come into the mind of Jesus Christ, you'll know that you're joint heirs with Him and He's given you everything that pertaineth unto life, that you've passed from death unto life, and that death has been abolished, and He's given you everything. And you'll know who you are, and you're established. And you're not moved around, tossed to and fro, moved by every wind of doctrine. You're established. You're planted and you cannot be moved. Nothing can pluck you out of the hand of God. You can't die. There's no devil of hell, no principality, no power. Nothing could touch you. Nothing could be laid to your charge. That's a nice place to live. Where's that at? It's in heaven. I like being in heaven. So, you know, I talk about a woman, if she's barren, she's going to hell. The woman stayed in childbearing. So how do we understand this? How do we understand that the preacher stand up here and say the rapture's already taken place? You see, if I heard the things coming out of my mouth a few years ago, I'd run. I'd say, "Man, I ain't going to sit in no church. Guy's talking about rapture's already taking a place and women going to hell if they don't bring forth children." And the guy said he's in heaven. Man, this guy's a wacko. You got to hear the end of the story. But again, I'm saying some things purposely to challenge you and make you think. And you say, "Well, where are we at?" Well, I'm in heaven. Well, you have any Bible for that? Yes, I do. You want me to show it to you? The Bible said we dwell in heavenly places. So where am I at? I'm in heaven. Why? Because I dwell in heavenly places. The Bible said where He is, we'll be there also. That's what the Bible says. He's taken and hid us away. Where'd He hide us at? In Him. I'm predestined in Him. So you see, what you do is, let me tell you some things that Jesus said for you could try to understand where I'm coming from. He said that my kingdom is without observation. This world is something you could observe. Is this correct? Now you could observe this world right here and you could look at it, you could touch it, you could taste it, you could feel it. You could smell it. Sometimes it's a stench in the nostrils of God, huh? But that's this kingdom here, that's this world. But He said my kingdom's without observation. He said that we walk by faith, not by what? Sight. But we walk by faith. So you see, if you are trusting in your eyes and you are trusting in your ears, then you're blind and you're deaf. He said, though you have eyes, you don't see, and though you have ears, you don't hear. And those people were listening to Him and looking at Him in this dimension. But He was trying to talk to them about another realm, another dimension. And this is why I say some of the things that are unrelative to you. This is why I say things to you to shake you a little bit and make you think differently. If I'm dwelling in heavenly places, somebody tell me how I got there. I was raptured. Your terminology. I was translated, the Bible says, that I was translated, where? Into the marvelous kingdom of God. Where's that at? It's in heaven. Hallelujah. Now see, I'm just trying to make you change the way you think. Do you want to think like a man? Paul said, "I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal." What is carnal? The carnal mind is death. The carnal mind is enmity against God. So if you think like a man, then you're going to die. And you're going to go to hell. So we can't think like a man. We got to think like a son of God. How does a son of God think? He thinks that he is sealed in and hid away in Christ. And the seed remaineth in him. And it keepeth him from sin. Because sin is the sting of death. And death, brothers and sisters, is something that's been done away with by the works of Jesus Christ. So I'm dwelling in heavenly places. How did I get there? I was raptured. So if we're talking about rapture, then we got to understand that there's more than one. We were talking about seeds a minute ago. I said there's a water seed that's relative to this world out here, and it takes the rain and the watering to water that seed and bring forth. And there's a blood seed. If you take the blood out of this vessel, that vessel's dead and no longer lives. But it's relative to blood life. Amen. And the blood seed goes into the woman, and the woman's safe for childbearing. You see, the woman, the Bible says Eve was in the transgression. Eve was in the fall. It wasn't Adam. So God could have said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take Eve and smack her right off the earth, and I'm going to get rid of this woman. But he said, no, I got to save the woman for childbearing. This is what the Lord said. He saved for childbearing. Now Adam could reproduce his image. Why did he want Adam to reproduce his image? Because he's repented, he said. Didn't you remember that? God said he repented that he made man. So now God says, you know what? This man has become a stench in my nostrils, and he grieves me, and he vexes me, so I'm just going to wipe man off the earth. It sure would have solved him a lot of problems, wouldn't it? But he would have had a problem if he would have done that. Isn't that true? But he saved the woman in childbearing. So now when we look at man, we're going to look at it in the next dimension. And we're going to say the bride of Christ. If God would have removed man off the earth, he would have had no bride. So what did he do? He came and purchased and paid a price and made her without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, and made her pure and clean and holy, that she could enter into the secret chambers of the living God. Why? For that seed could come into her, amen? That seed that keepeth you from sin. Are you with me, church? I mean, does that excite you a little bit? I mean, we're talking, you know, people get excited when the little baby comes. But we're talking about being birthed into the kingdom of God, being translated into the kingdom. Come on, church, we need to believe the word of God and know who we are. So we talked about the water seed relative. We talk about the blood seed. Now we're talking about a spirit seed. So the Bible says I could take you over where we're at in 1 John 3. If I went over two more, I'm not going to go there. But if I went on over there to 1 John 5, it said that there's three that bear record in the heavens, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. These three are one, not three persons. Oh, no. That's Catholic if you believe that God's three-person God. That's just Catholic. That's okay. We'll cast that Catholic devil out of you, and you start believing the Word of God. These three are one. That's what the Bible says. These three are one. You can't have three persons and call it one. And I know where they go with the Scriptures. I'm not a oneness. I'm not a Trinitarian. That's all man's mumbo-jumbo. You understand that? So we're talking about understanding things in another dimension. The Bible's very dimensional. Water, blood, spirit. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. Jesus said he made himself twain. Twain means two. Made himself twain too, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man, both Son of God. So what am I? So I'm going to answer you tonight. You say, well, what are you, brother? Well, what you're looking at is the image of the beast. You're looking at the image of man. You're looking at the image of the serpent. You're looking at the image of the devil. And you say, oh man, I don't know if I can go there. That's the fallen image. That's what you see with your eyes. You see, if you go into the Revelation and try to understand it, well, how did they show Jesus in the Old Testament? You know, what was the healing for the people and for the nations? It was a serpent. They held it up on a pole, right? Now, why would they have used the brazen serpent and put it up on a pole showing Jesus Christ coming? Because he took the image. The Bible said that Jesus came in the image of sin. Okay, he was no sin and had no sin. But he came in the image of that, and he took that image to the cross of Calvary, and it was smitten and beaten beyond recognition. How many of you read in your Bible when he come forth in the resurrection that he wasn't recognized? He walked along with the disciples, walked right beside them along the Sea of Galilee, and he spoke to them, and then their hearts burned within them, and then they recognized him. And when the woman was there, when he come forth from the tomb, walked among them, she didn't recognize him until he spoke. Why? Because he didn't resurrect in the same image. Oh, but wait a minute. Do you think you're going to resurrect in the same image? The Bible says now we are the sons of God. The world doesn't see us of what we are. You know why they don't see us? Because they're looking at the vanity, the lie. But when he was in the upper room there, and they were sealed in, and Doubting Thomas was there, he said, here, feel of my nail prints. Thrust your hand into this scar in my side. But he said, more blessed is the man who believes without seeing. So you say he had those there, and they're there to remind the people of what he'd done for them. But it wasn't resurrected. It wasn't the same image. That image was able to walk through the walls. You understand that? That image is omnipresent. It could be anywhere all the time and manifest all the time. It's different. Now, I could take you over to 1 Corinthians, and I could take you in another couple books, and I could show that to you, that you that were sown in mortality and raised in immortality, speaking about you now, that when you come forth, it's not going to be in the resurrection, you're not going to be in the same image that you're in right now. It's not going to be the same. But they asked the woman, they said, you know, well, whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? And the Lord Jesus offered reproof to them. Said, there's no male nor female, there's no marriage there. So the image is going to be different there. It's going to be different. Now, these are things that we need to understand. When do we start understanding? When do we start believing these things? You see, we're not supposed to speak relative to this world. We're supposed to speak because now we are the sons of God. We speak by the mind of Christ. Again, Paul said, I would like to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal. He said, you should be teaching these things by now. You brethren and you sisters in this church should be so established in the mind of Christ, knowing who you are, that you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know who you are in Christ. We're not looking for the beggarly elements of this world. We're not looking for the prestige that this world's got to offer. We're not looking for recognition in this world. We're not looking for careers and all the things this world's got to offer. We're ambassadors. We're just passing through this land. Amen. And we're here to bring the good news of the gospel. Well, somebody's got to work, preacher. Somebody's got to have a job and somebody's got to have an occupation. But the problem is your occupation many times has you instead of you having an occupation. There is a total difference. I'm not seeking the world. I'm seeking, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added. And when you're seeking the kingdom, he's taking care of you now. He's looking for you and watching after you and helping you. He's ever present in your day and in your time of need. Seek him first. I like preaching the word. You love the Lord? So who are you tonight? What are you tonight? Are you a man or are you a God? What does God's reproduce? Men reproduce after their kind. What do God's reproduce after? The Bible said, now you are the sons of God. They came to the Lord Jesus, ask him. You can go to the scriptures. But they came to the Lord Jesus and they were going to take up stones to stone him. And he says, for what good works have I done that you want to take these stones up to stone me? And they said, it's not for the good works that you've done, but you're a mere man making yourself to be God. What did he say? He said, but isn't it also written that ye are God's? Over in Psalms, it says the same thing. You're gods, but you die like men from a lack of knowledge. I'm bringing you to a knowledge tonight that you're never going to die. Can you receive that? Amen. Oh, yeah, but they put my grandpa in a box. They put grandma in a box. They put daddy in a box. They put mama in a box. You know, you can't tell me that death has been abolished. I'm here to tell you, thus saith the Lord, death is abolished. We cannot die. You've never seen a son of God. You've never seen a child of God die. God did not die on the cross of Calvary. It was the Son of Man that gave his life for the atonement of sin. God cannot die. You understand that if somebody walked through that door and said, that preacher's a liar, and they blow me all over this pretty portrait back here, and you think, oh my, he was wrong. Oh no, I wasn't wrong. I never was wrong. You just need to keep hearing them words vibrating through all of eternity that I can't die. You understand that? You can't die. You cannot die. You cannot die. Sons of God cannot die. Children of God cannot die. They never can die because they've already passed from death unto life. Amen. There is the eternal spirit of God living in this body that you see, the vanity, the lying vanity. The eternal spirit of God is living in this body. And he walks among men and he speaks. The Bible said it's no longer the minister speaking, but it's Christ speaking through him. You're not looking at the image. Amen. You're hearing the spirit of God. It's vanity. This world is vanity, vexation of the spirit. This world is the lie. It's not the truth. Everything that you see is temporal. Everything that you see is vanity. Everything that you see is vexation to the spirit of God. People will think, well, this world is so beautiful. I can understand the beauty of this world that you see. But let me tell you something. When you see the one that God has in store for you, this one here has nothing. Nothing whatsoever at all. This world's got pain and sorrows and sufferings and aches and pains, amen? But the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, when we're talking about after this transfiguration of this body, there's no suffering, there's no pain, there's no aches, amen? We need to realize who we are. I challenge you, if somebody heard something tonight that wasn't backed by this word or by this Bible, I challenge you to come to me. You can come to me. I'm not going to be upset with you. I'll love you and I'll help you and I'll show you in the scriptures. If I cannot vindicate anything I said in the scripture tonight, then you would be doing me a favor. Amen. Because I don't need to speak anything outside of God's word. Amen. You just need to learn to understand God's word. And sometimes you read the wrong part of God's word. There's ministers that give their life to teaching things, but they're teaching only a segment of it. They're teaching something from the water world realm, or they're teaching something from maybe the spiritual realm, or they're preaching something from maybe the soul realm, but we need to understand them all. I find people disputing all the time, and they don't understand. Some saying, well, I believe in pre-tribulation rapture, and one says, well, I believe in post-tribulation rapture, one says, I believe in mid-tribulation rapture. Would you ever think for a moment maybe they're all right? Did you ever think of that? I already told you that I've already been raptured. Has my physical body been raptured? Has this flesh that you see been raptured? No, this flesh that you're looking at has not been raptured. But my spirit, man, is raptured away, hid away, sealed in with Christ. Amen? It's already taken care of. Nothing can touch it. But this man part that you see, yes, it's aging. Yes, it might go by the way of the grave. It could be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. It could happen tonight. Amen. You might be looking at me and all of a sudden I change right before your eyes. The Bible said in a twinkling of an eye. Can somebody tell me how fast a twinkle of an eye is? It's pretty fast. Pretty quick. Are y'all here at camp meeting tonight? Are y'all come to have a good time tonight? Yeah. Is it okay? Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I'm excited about being a son of God. You know, there's a lot of things that can bring happiness and excitement and things to you in this world. But let me tell you something. When you're born of God, there's something in your spirit that will never move. Nothing that will never change. And you'll find who you are eternal in God. Nothing could rob you. Nothing could take that. Nothing could steal it away from you. Amen. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know who and what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we could come to an understanding of knowing this, then we're not going to be tossed around and moved by every wind of doctrine. We're going to stand established in the Word of God and not be tossed to and fro. This is what we need to be, because if you're not stable and people see you stumbling around and staggering around and this and that, then you're not going to be a soul winner. People like to receive from people that are unmoved when they see stability. You know, we think of the storms that's come through and it's taken this down and taken that down and taken that down. But when somebody sees something that is established that wasn't moved by it, you know, if another storm had come, they would say, man, there's the shelter right there. There's a place to go right there. You understand what I'm saying? This world is being shook right now. And this is something that we need to realize and know. Because people are looking for stability. They're looking for strength. They're looking for something that's established. You understand that? Are you established in Christ? Are you planted? Are you grounded? Do you have a taproot? You know, I think of some of the storms that come by and we find this tree blown over or we find this and that. But sometimes some trees have got that deep taproot down. And they're not moved. They're going to stand strong. You say, well, I'll tell you, Brother Rob, I'm in a place that the Lord will just move the storms around me. Well, He can do that. But I'm going to tell you what, sometimes He's going to allow you to be tried. He's going to allow you to express your strength and your faith and to show Himself to you. You know, in part of this meeting over the course of time, there's going to be some talking about some of these men that have been martyred, talking about some of these men that have really suffered for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And carried a testimony. Do we have that kind of spirit in us that we're willing to really suffer for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ? I read a little story here not many days back of a little child. I believe she was a Muslim. And she went by a meeting where they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she went in. And when she got home, she got beaten by her father for going to that meeting and said, never go again. But she heard something in that meeting that kept drawing her and drawing her and drawing her back. If I remember right, the little child was about 11 years old. And they asked the child to go back to town for something, to do something. And they walked, and this meeting was still going. And the child went back into the meeting again. And the people at the meeting gave the little girl a dress. She accepted the Lord Jesus as her Savior, and they wanted to give her a gift, and they gave her a new dress. She went home wearing the new dress, and her daddy beat her to death. And when she was dying, the dress was covered with blood, they said, and she asked her mother, she said, please take the scissors and cut a little piece of this dress out for me. She said, I want this in my hand when I go before the Lord Jesus because I'm going home. And she said, I'm going to hand this to Him to show what I gave up for Him because I know what He gave up for me. And the little girl died. And the report is that her mother and father gave their life to the Lord Jesus. You know, there's a little girl that became a Savior. She had a testimony, was willing to lay her life down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we have that kind of faith? Do we have that kind of love for the truth? The Bible said, if you deny me before men, He'll deny you before the Father. And you know, there's so many times people will deny Him in their daily activities of life. They'll deny the Lord. Well, how do they do that? You know, we don't ever want to be at a place where we're ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people come into church and the Spirit of the Lord says, lift up your hands and praise me and worship. And they fail to do that. And they don't want to do that. And they won't do that. They deny the Lord. We don't want to do that, friends. Let's stand together. Be in prayer. Maybe you might skip a meal or two for the meeting. Let's trust the Lord that the Lord will have his way in our meeting. That we can find the yielding to the Spirit of God, direction. I'm planning on having a good time. Amen. I had a good time tonight. Is that all right? Do you have a good time, Sam? How about you, Sister Rebecca? Dale? All right. I love the Word of God. Amen. The message may have seemed simplistic tonight, but that message is sometimes we might think that we understand it, but sometimes we don't understand it in the fullness. I can remember Brother Pike so oftentimes saying things, and I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it. And then he would say it, and something would catch my spirit. And it would unveil to me in a different measure, in a different realm, in a different dimension. And I go, wow. And I thought, man, praise God. I remember a man asked me a question about something that Brother Pike was teaching and preaching about. And I remember answering it to the best of my ability. And my answer was accurate and correct. But then I found over some time that my understanding was deepened. And what I said was accurate and right, but there was actually a little more to it, a little deeper down in there, a little bit farther down the trail. Amen. Let's sing a song or two. We won't keep you too long this evening. If you could realize that you could do nothing without Him, then you'll quit trying to do everything. And you'll surrender and let Him do everything. Sometimes He wants to use you, but He's afraid to, for one reason, because you allow Him to open the door and to start using you, and then you decide that you're going to take it from there. Just remove yourself out of the way. Don't be one that stand in the way and hinder others from coming in. And let Him be a Savior. Some of the doctrine tonight is very controversial. Some can't receive it. But this is necessary doctrine. And you must learn to receive. Let's sing another song. Amen. Is there any others that would like or need to come into the altars for prayer? Everything. The little young sister that was visiting that left early, she seemed to be drawn and receiving very well. There were some things that went forth that may be simple to you, but sometimes they astound the wise and the prudent. But pray for her. Had a good spirit about her. We'll just trust and believe and pray. Amen. You see, a couple of little brothers went out, knocked on a few doors, invited a few people, and a little sister come out. Could be some change your life. You say, that's pretty simple doctrine. Well, let me tell you, the simplistic of the gospel that you heard tonight is not being preached in the religious realms. It's not being preached out there. I can tell you that. It's not. I can call it simplistic, but there's some real depths of understanding for someone to really come to understand and to walk in the things that were ministered about tonight. There's a lot of people that say they're part of this doctrine and they say the right things, but it's never become a revelation. Brother George stood before his brethren and he said, y'all really believe that you're God's? Come on now. He asked him, he said, do you really believe? And one of them said, yeah. And he goes, you know, you don't believe that. You know, when you really believe something, there's something that happens when you really believe. When you really believe in your heart and you really confess with your mouth, there's really something that takes place and really something that happens. And it's more than just a confession of lips and of mouth. It becomes a confession from the heart. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Y'all love the Lord. Let's Amen. Sing a song or two. Amen. Let's rejoice in the Lord and praise Him. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.